What changes has happened when we are dealing with data warehousing, business intelligence, big data, NoSQL, Hadoop? This is what the session is about. Can we also close the door, if you don't mind? Otherwise, it's a lot of distraction for... The next 45 minutes is the time we get. Anurag, will have to reset the timer also, please. Okay. Speaking will be me, Deepthi, who has been working on data for about 10, 12 years now, along with Ruhani.
Hi, I'm Ruhani. Both of us work in the technology evangelism team at Microsoft. We help customers and developers adopt Microsoft latest Microsoft technologies. And this year, our focus is on Azure.
Okay. So what do we do now? We'll see. We'll start off with a statement that was made 2 years ago. And in keynote, actually, Dave mentioned that, you know, if the data is older, the value that it has is much, much lesser. What are we saying here? Statement made by Gartner, data warehousing is undergoing a huge change. That doesn't mean it's going to go anywhere, just that there are additional portions which are going to get added to this. Now, the question is, why did we need the change? The OLTP sources we had before were all well-structured. They were meant to maintain the asset properties. They were all normalized. We did an ETL, said we denormalized it, optimized it for querying. And then we did some reporting and dashboarding out of it. The typical kind of things that we would use would be in GBs at most, even about 5 years ago. Now, we are speaking of increased volumes. The increased volumes are coming from machines and not from human beings. So about 5 years ago, we would open up a web page, fill in data, and that is where most of the data would come from. Now, a lot of data will come from somewhere else, right? It will all be machine generated. My machine will keep sending an information to some other device saying what my latitude, longitude coordinates are and where I can be traced. Similarly, there's smart metering and so on and so forth, and a lot of it. A lot of this data is also born in the cloud. Now, the most important thing on which this whole session is based about is actually how will we deal with real-time data? Whenever we move the data and we did some analytics on top of it, it was always a batch processing. It was an overnight process. Mostly, in most of the cases, there would be quarterly, weekly, annual processes. Now, and when we said, we did speak of real time a while back. When we said we'll start doing something with real time, the real time was a reduced batch window. So it was 2 hours that a certain set of tables would get refreshed, or probably in about 15 minutes that a certain other set of tables would get refreshed. But it was never in real time. And this is not sufficient. This is not satisfactory right now. What we're expecting is, if a credit card is getting authorized, if it's a fraudulent transaction, it will get detected immediately. And when we say that, we're speaking in terms of seconds, milliseconds, and so on. So let's actually see what is it that's changed. So this is the ancient model that was there. Now, with the addition of devices that we have there, what's changed is, I mean, all of you will agree, when you start storing data in a relational system, it is a little bit of expensive process to do. Apart from not being able to hold things, we did retrofit it, we fitted in XMLs into it, we did a lot of analysis onto it at real time, but we couldn't. Now, we said we'll store data where it is best stored, probably in file systems, and this being commodity hardware would also reduce the cost of storage, so it will allow us to store more, and it will also allow us to process it there. So we'll focus on two areas here. How do we do ETL in the real world, and how do we do analytics in real time today?
So basically, our agenda today is focused on learning these two services. So as you know, on Azure, there are services which get added, new updates keep on coming at a very fast pace. So it's no longer the cycle of years. We have updates coming to it every 2 to 3 weeks. So we are talking about two services today, two data services, which both of them are still in preview. The Azure Data Factory, which helps us to do ETL, and Azure Stream Analytics, which helps us to do real-time analytics.
Okay. So now, delving a little deeper and understanding what is Azure Data Factory, it's a services which is available for database developers and IT professionals. It will help us to create linked services, which is basically storing where things will happen, as in it will store the credentials to a storage account, or if you are logging into SQL Server, it will hold the URL. I'm saying the URL with reference to SQL Azure Database, but it could be an on-prem as well, and the credentials for it. Along with it, it will also help us to define some transactions or activities, not transactions, but actually activities that we'll do over a period of time. So the activity could be as simple as copying something to as complex as invoking a machine learning system out of it.
So basically, the data, you can use the various diverse sources of data here. You could use the Azure SQL database that Mandar and Ranga talked about, or you could use your on-premise SQL Server databases, or you could use the unstructured data as well. And all these data sources are getting added with time.
So this is a service which is still in preview. We don't have a live date for GA, and we expect it to be rich with a lot more data sources before it goes GA. The other thing is, when we say it's an on-premise SQL server, it will also include all the IaaS VM SQL servers that you could have currently.
Another advantage is that it helps in providing a monitoring. So you can monitor your data sources, where your data is, how much data is processed, if it's being processed in the right at the right time and in the right manner, all within a single pane of the window within the Azure portal, which we'll have a look at once we get into the demos.
Okay. So now we'll actually look at the portal and see what it does. And this portal is different from what you saw in the last session. What the portal that you saw was already in GA, and this ELISA, what as it's called internally, has been available for some time. So let's log into the portal. I'm yet to sign in anyway. I'm signing into my new portal. Sign in. So, what we see when we actually sign in is how we can create a data factory and creating a data factory. Sorry, you have a question? All right. So, when we create a data factory, what we will see is a bunch of these things that we see on the left-hand side. Like I mentioned, link services will help us to link to an existing account. The data sets will help us in defining view-like things to say, I don't have to get everything from my data set from the original data store. I'll get what I want. The pipelines will help in defining with activities. Now, when I log into the portal, what I want to show you here is a diagrammatic view. Something that SSIS was not capable of giving us before was to show an end-to-end analysis of how you can go from one area into another area. There was no lineage that was available. Now, we do have the lineage where it says, these are the sources and these are the endpoints, and this is how we can go with it. Can we switch over here?
Yes.
All right. So we will use this machine. And then, if you have to create a data factory, it's a simple tool. We'll go onto the new portal. We'll say, show me something with data and analytics. And we will pick up Data Factory. When we pick up Data Factory, we would obviously give it a name. Now, apart from this, what is important here is the concept of a resource group. And this concept of a resource group, you have it only in the new portal. All the resources which are going to be used by an application is going to be managed within this resource group. And then we have the subscription that we can use, and importantly, the region that we can select. When we speak of regions, we always say we have 19 data centers. The 28th one is coming up in India. And always choose a data center which is closest to where your customers will be so that there is no latency. In this case, it's a little different. Currently, in preview, the service is available only in West US. But still, this doesn't concern us too much. And why is that? Because this is only a monitoring environment. It doesn't actually move the data from one location to another. Neither does it process the data from here. So with all of this, let's go ahead and create this. And it'll take a while to get it to create. Sure, sure.
Is this only on SQL Server data, or can I even...
Currently, there are three sources of data that it's supporting. Like we mentioned, it is SQL Server on-prem, which also means IaaS implementation. So your SQL Server could be on an Azure cloud. It also supports storage, and it supports SQL Azure DB. And we expect newer sources to be added into it before it goes to GA. Blob store, plain text, CSV, photo, audio, video, whatever you store there. When I mean the blob, it also includes tables and queues. So tables is a place where you store in, you know, key value pairs, and queues is where you store in temporary data, which will get deleted automatically over a period of time. All this included. The other databases are not available right now directly, but we expect it to come in a short span of time. Now, to actually take a look at it, let's actually look at a scenario so that we can create something of this.
So we can take a gaming company scenario,
and your so this gaming company actually wants to increase its monetization of revenues and stuff. So they have users that log into their game, and they can store. So they're already storing their login ID, passwords, other details on a SQL server on premise. Now they also want to track the information of all the users, what they're actually doing in that game. If they're playing it at a particular level, you know, let's say if it's a game of chess, they want to record what each move a player made at what step. So this data is actually very voluminous. If you see, you know, they are actually storing tens of terabytes of data every day, which they're storing on the cloud. So we'll see how they're using Data Factory to orchestrate and create the sandbox.
And to get at some results, right? So basically, they have some on-prem data where they're getting people to register, and every movement is registered in the log file, and they want to arrive at some kind of results, which they will use for upselling, cross-selling, and so on. What are the terms and terminologies that we need to take a look at? It's the same four that we've already spoken of. We need to establish a relationship to a data store using linked services. We create some data sets. We create pipelines to say what kind of transformation activity is needed. And finally, take a look at the diagrammatic view. And the steps to create anything would be like this. Let's delve in and understand how to create this, because creating this is pretty simple. We have on-prem SQL Server user view and the log files which are stored in the Azure blob. We will define something so that the Data Factory will have access to both of it. That means we've just created link servers for that one. And then what do? In the first one, we're saying copy whatever is here and put it into a new one. Why? It's the copying activity could also copy it on to a table with partitions. With partitioning, like any other data strategy, you can read across multiple partitions and it'll be better. So you are copying. The question here would be, I have my data on SQL Server. Why would I simply copy it across? We are saying this could be a case of simple copy, but along with doing a simple copy, you can move it from a non-partition table to a partition table.
But we're using it in the blob storage?
We are not directly linking it. We are actually copying the data now from SQL Azure database on-prem to the blob store. Onto a blob store. Okay? So as you can, if you see, you know, this is a blob store, this is a pipeline. The first one is on-prem SQL Server, it's copying what from the blob store. The second one, as you will see, the log information that we get is tracked by IP. And IP is PII information, right? So it's personally identifiable information. Using IP, people can actually track you down and kind of, you know, stack you. There could be security issues there. So what happens in the second one is we take the data which is loaded with IP, combine with some kind of reference data, and then mash it up so that the IPs are replaced by real information in terms of city like Pune, which we can all understand with, and arrive at a different version of it. So the IP is replaced by lat-long information. Now, the interesting thing to note over here is, how does this it do? It does all of this using an HD Insight cluster. There are two options of doing this. It uses a Hive query. And why is all this needed? Because referencing the IPs, finding out the lat-long, is not a simple operation when we're doing it with terabytes of data. Right. So there are two options here. One is we can define a cluster and say, use this cluster, or it can spin off a cluster on the fly. The third activity which we want to do is take the output from our tables, take what has been geomassed, and produce the kind of results that we want to produce. We've understood what we have to do, right? Now the thing is, how do we do this? Simple, we will write some English, right? So all you see on the screen is JSON. It will tell us what the structure is, what the name is, what the location is. It's saying what the location of the data is, what the availability is, what is the frequency. Now, you understand this JSON. I have a question for you. If this data changes from being in the blob store to SQL Azure, do you need to change the whole of this JSON? Sorry? So you need to change only the type. The rest of the information remains same. You definitely deserve a bag. The bag is right over there for you to pick it up. Okay. Let's take another example of a pipeline kind of an activity, right? We are taking in the logs. The pipelines will always take in inputs of data. It will throw out the outputs of data. So what you put in is a data set. What you get out is a data set. What happens in between is some kind of activity. So in the first one, we're saying it takes in some data store,
It puts out the data store. It uses a linked service, and the type of script that it executes is pig. And the pig script is stored at a particular location. You are giving the path for that location file. In the same pipeline, you're not restricted to one single activity. You could do two activities. The second activity will say, it's a simple copying operation, and define what the input is and what the output is. Can we try?
Yes, let's try it on the portal and see.
The pig is taking raw, she's switched, okay, but I'll just tell you, the pig will take in the raw data, it will do some kind of activity.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. I can understand.
Yeah.
So you're taking the data from the blob,
huh.
And then?
We are taking the raw game usage data, we are doing some activity, some amount of cleansing on it, using an activity and again putting it back.
So you're doing this using pig?
We are used, in order to churn the data, in order to massage the data, we are using a pig script.
Okay.
The pig script needs to run somewhere, so it will run inside an HDInsight cluster.
So what you're saying is, even using the pig script, you are able to get the masking geodata from everywhere and doing something, are able to do something.
Yes. So what happens is, we can use data factory, you can hack us.
Web analytics company, so I understand. This is why I'm asking.
All right. So we can actually use this to... We can use, you can run pig, hive, scoop, all of that. So data factory is something that's helping us deal with structured and unstructured information in a single package. So you don't have to rely on tools like SSIS, Informatica, and Pentaho, and then write some C# and Java code, which you can do here, by the way, as well.
Over here, I am writing the codes that I normally today write in PowerShell, using hive or pig or whatever. Rather than doing that, I'm putting all these things in a single JSON file, so that I can.
Yes, yes. So it gives us a clear and nice interface so that we can have more questions. All right. Go on, Rohani.
So now we'll just switch to the portal and see basically what are the steps that you actually...
Can I steal a minute from you?
Yeah.
So when we are at the portal, let's actually take a look at what we can do with the diagram view.
Okay. This is a
sample
fresh
that you want to create. All right. Let me try logging in here.
So till the time DP logs in, and we'll see a diagrammatic view at the end of this. So here's basically, so to start a data factory, the first thing that you need to define here is the data sources. So the data sources from where it will be accepting this data. So we could, so in this demo, we'll be basically looking at a very simple copying kind of a demo where we are copying information from a blob store to an Azure SQL database. So we'll add both of these. So the first thing is that you need to add these, both of them as data sources, linked as link services here. So we will add a reference to both of these data stores. So you see that you, by default, when you just go ahead and click here, you get a default JSON. You just need to enter your credentials to the storage account. So we've created a blob store. We'll just connect to the blob store and add the credentials here.
So the JSON also came in published. We are only putting in the parameters to establish this connection here.
Just let me put these credentials in here. So once you're done, you can just click deploy and it'll deploy it. And it also shows you that if it's been able to successfully connect to it or not. So similarly, you know, we can add an Azure SQL DB here. We'll have to, again, it provides us the base JSON, and we need to enter the credentials. So you need to enter the server name, the database that you want to connect via, and the username and the passwords of the database. So we'll just replace this connection string by a sample string. We've already created a database, and we'll just add a connection to this over here. I guess we made an error while copying the connection string. We'll just
close the quote.
String here. And we'll go ahead and say deploy. Similarly, you can add the, then we'll, after the next step, we'll add the data sets. So here you saw the JSON that we were talking about that you saw in the screenshots earlier. So you basically define the structure, the location. So here we'll actually say the Azure blob, the blob that we've created, and then we actually add the other things. So let's just add a sample blob for this particular scenario. And here, so we basically have created a, we have a data in the blob file which basically consists of first name and last name of people, and then we have defined the location, and this is the folder path inside our container where this data file resides. And then we define the frequency. So we can define the frequency in hours, minutes, and you can change it accordingly. And once you are done, you can deploy. So once we are done with adding the link services and the data sets, then we can define a pipeline. So within this pipeline, we can define the activity that we need to perform. So we could perform an activity of copying the data from a blob store to the SQL Azure database over here, or you could define any of the activities that you want to perform via this pipeline.
It's easy enough to fill it up there, but just to save time, we are copying and pasting it elsewhere so that we don't make errors typing it in.
Exactly. So here you define your inputs, the tables that we've created, and then we define the output tables. And once we are done creating this pipeline, you can actually go ahead and deploy this pipeline.
Because the first one isn't there. That's
okay. Okay, so we'll just see a sample that we've created earlier. So this is the same bit. Just give me a second. So here you can actually see in here, so we've defined those two data sets for the blob and the SQL database. We have a pipeline where we are performing this copying activity, and then you can see the link services. So all of this you're seeing in a single pane view. So then you can also see the diagrammatic view that Deepthi was talking about. So you want to elaborate on the diagrammatic
view? We'll show it again, okay. Where we can see a bigger view.
Okay, so here is basically, this is a very simple pipeline that we've created. So we have this blob storage, then we have this pipeline where we're going to perform the copying, and this is the table where this output is being shown. And then you can actually go to this pipeline and you can monitor this pipeline and see what's being consumed and the details of what's exactly happening in this pipeline. So here you see below the activity.
Can we control the? See, whatever you want to do, this is a platform in which you can connect to data sources. You can consume, you can put it out. At the same time, whatever you want to do in terms of control, you can do it within the pipeline activity. So if you say, take the top end records, which is a function which is supported, it will take the top end records. But at this point in time, it will not support a where clause, right? So there are certain there are certain ways in which you can filter out what you want. But see, this is a data massaging tool. So we would say that there are multiple hops. So don't try to do everything in one hop. If you want to get whatever data you have from on-prem onto your blob store, do another activity where you're filtering out the data that you get, and in the next step, do whatever activity you would want to on top of it. Right? SQL database has a limitation of? Okay, all right.
Did you get me? So my SQL database has a DTU limitation. If I do not control this pipe and start pushing a lot of data.
Correct. It will consume all of your bandwidth. At some point in time, it will choke. It won't be able to respond.
So how can I use this for a solution where I'm continuously trying to process files?
Okay. There are two things, right?
I think.
I just have a question. We have a lot of data experts in this room, which is actually making me a little conscious. So let's introduce Kumar, Sudhir, Cameron. You've already seen Ranga, all right? And Amit was here, he walked away. So Kumar is saying there's a session that he's doing tomorrow,
first session, 11 o'clock, in the HOL track, where he will speak of SQL Azure databases. So in SQL Azure databases, you can do something called as sharding, where you partition the database. So when you partition it, there's a lot of performance improvements that you can get on top of it.
No, I think you know, I just have a, I'm here on your on your right, yeah. So what you right now is, you know, are showing is essentially how to extract data from a structured as well as unstructured source and to merge it using PIG, where you're using PIG. So typically, yeah, PIG Hive. Typically, this is always done in Hadoop clusters, so that is fine. So the question that I have is that what is your solution or what is the solution for messaging tools for data that is in motion? Because in both these examples, that the data is at rest.
So not come up to that portion of it. Just give us like another five minutes.
Okay.
We will tell you how you can deal with data which is in motion. Okay?
Okay. Do you have a comparative solution to things like Kafka, Storm, and all that? I mean.
Okay. So HD Insight, there's another session by Sudhir Rawat who will tell you what are the options that we have on HD Insight. HD Insight is where we run big data on Windows platform. It by default right now supports Hadoop, HBase, and Storm. If you want to do any custom implementation like Kafka, you can always take the custom implementation and do it. On top of it, we have Linux, which is on preview right now. So you can install HD Insight on Linux. And Sudhir will add on more to it. Sudhir.
Hello.
Yeah. So just to add what Dipti said, Storm and Kafka, what our offering is on Microsoft, right now we have Stream Analytics which will help you.
Hold on. You are stealing the thunder away. I said 5 minutes, we will show you how you can deal with that data.
So just a quick answer, we have it. Just hold your emotions. For just a couple of minutes,
the whole agenda is defined, which mic am I speaking? The whole agenda is divided into two things, okay? The first thing is how you can do ETL with varied sources of data. The advantage is we were doing all this in disparate sources, so we never got the single view to monitor and manage, which makes it easier here. The second thing is how we will do real-time analytics with data which is in motion, right? So we've got another two, we are 2 minutes away from showing that.
So he will be able to show how to control the pipe. The throughputs of the pipes.
Sorry?
You're going to show
how we will control
the pipeline?
Yeah, the throughput.
No, not right now, but we can definitely have a chat about it later.
One more question. Is the pipe limited to use only HD Insight? Can it use Azure batch?
No. So if you go into the authoring tool at this point in time, if you want to go over here, let me do this here. If we say author and deploy, and here, if we say show me how I can do my new compute. It says on-demand HD Insight cluster. I didn't realize I was not on duplicate. So I just went into the place deploy and author where I could write in JSON, and it says on-demand HD Insight, HD Insight cluster, and Azure ML batch scoring. So you can also integrate ML into it at this point in time. We expect both the amount of data sources, the kind of data sources it will support, and the compute powers that we will have to go beyond these two. Okay, so now that we've spent considerable time on this, let's get back. And what? This is two. Okay. So, can you see the screen? Shift F5. I'm doing Shift F5. Whatever we do on the portal, like any other service, you can deploy the whole thing on using PowerShell. The next thing that we want to show you is if a particular pipeline fails at some point in time, then you can rerun only that portion of the pipeline. There is also built-in dependency understanding capability that it has, for the lack of better words. So if one produces every data every chunk and another produces data once in every 24 hours, and if you have a third pipeline which is dependent on that, they will understand, and the third pipeline will only run only when the complete data from both of that is available. So what we're saying here is, if something has failed, obviously the data flow will fail in the following pipeline. You can rerun only that portions of it. So we do understand you're actually running a lot of data and do not reprocess the whole thing. Okay. Now comes the custom actions that are possible. You can run any kind of .NET code within this. It can be used to connect to new sources. You can create your own custom transactions, activities that's possible. You can invoke machine learning, which is now in GA. And we have a custom SDK if you want to do any kind of these activities. A bunch of activities which will tell you what Data Factory is now capable of. We will actually take a look at how we can analyze our data in motion right now.
So basically, that will answer to your question on analysis of the real-time data. So basically, before we actually delve into what real-time stream analytics is, and just to set a context of what's the differentiation between the streaming data and data at rest. So the data that we used to talk about before was the data at rest, where you could just, if you wanted answers to certain questions, you could run a query over it and get an answer to it. What happens in case of, in case of data in motion, so now we have thousands of these sensors and devices which are being connected. So these are sending data in real time, and you want to get answers to questions in real time. So let's look at an example. So you know, if you are, let's say, standing on a freeway, and you want to count the number of cars that are passing through that freeway. So if you write a query, that query will have to run continuously to actually give you answers to the number of cars that have passed. Unlike the case where, you know, if you had a static data, you could just count the number of cars which are in there, and that will give you, once you run the query, you have an answer to it. But here, the major difference lies in the fact that your queries are going to run continuously because they are going to run on a continuous stream of data. So let's understand what Azure Stream Analytics is all about. So till now, we were actually looking at what real-time stream analytics is. Now we come to the fact that what Azure Stream Analytics is about. Real-time analytics is not a concept which is completely or entirely new. People used to already build real-time analytics solutions in the financial domains and at other places. But what has significantly changed? So the thing is that getting up those real-time solutions is not an easy task. So, you know, they require you to set up an infra. They also require a lot of development code that you need to write. So basically, you have to manage everything which is basically continuous. So you have to write all those continuous code, which actually runs into lines and lines of code. So, you know, you would have actually to implement something, you would end up writing probably, let's say, a set of 1,000 lines of code to do it. So Azure Stream Analytics is basically a PaaS solution where you can actually do all this by writing certain simple SQL-like queries that you've been doing all around. And then with those SQL queries, it will just add in a window of time, which we'll talk about later, because here you will need a window of time as this is all entirely real time. And then you get all the other advantages and benefits of the cloud that you really need. So you would get a benefit. You would get the benefits of cloud scale. You could scale it up. You could scale it up as the other cloud services would scale, and you do not need to, you know, worry about scaling up, scaling down. Or let's say what happens in business scenarios is that, you know, you started with the volume of data is less. Consequently, the volume of data grows. So you still get that same. You still get that same throughput, resiliency, and everything via this service.
So you don't really have to go through all these different steps, set up infrastructure, develop solutions, integrate it with other solutions. When you integrate it, you take care of resiliency, high availability, and finally monitoring and troubleshooting. You don't have to do any of this. You can directly go and use Stream Analytics. So how does it work? It takes in data from different sources. If you see, there are two data sources that we have mentioned. The first one is an Event Hub. We have a separate session of Event Hub in the app track. So an event hub is where you can define how you will get continuous signals of data. Common example of this is somebody has an IoT device. It could be a smart meter. It could be readings from a toll booth. The moment you get it in, you start analyzing it. So basically, event hub, you can think of it right now as something that can ingress millions of records per second, right? The other thing that we support is Azure Blob. So it is meant to do real-time analytics, but if you suddenly find yourself down with a lot of data, which is static in nature, you can use that too. When we have two sources of data, the thing that becomes more important is, with what do we compare against? You know, we've stopped analyzing our own data and coming out of analytics on top of it. We say, we need reference to something, reference to set standards, reference to competition, and using our data with the reference data, we can arrive at some outputs. So,
and then you can actually, the queries that we talked about, right? You can create a transformation on this data. So you have this input stream and you want to transform it as an output stream. Maybe you want to send it to some devices per se to perform certain actions or certain things. So you have all these functions. So it helps you, it has all those filter aggregates kind of functions that you can perform in that data. Yes.
How exactly you get the data to devices?
Sorry?
Connectivity to devices. We will show you.
So Event Hub is basically for the purpose of, Event Hub is a separate service altogether in Azure with which you can actually ingest a lot of data with calling those event streams and enter that.
So
this
Event Hub also can talk to the custom protocols of the
customer? Can also talk to?
Can this Event Hub can pull the data from custom protocols or custom sensors like that?
There are a set of built-in standards which are supported as of now. How do you transform the data, is it? Okay. First thing, you can transform. You can write queries. The next slide will actually show you what kind of queries you can write in it and what kind of special windowing features, which Rohani has also already mentioned, be available there. The second question was, how do you compare it with Spark? Yes. Spark is something that will help you do data analytics in real time. And Azure Stream Analytics will help you do the same thing on Azure. What the differences are, the session, what is the session time?
So in fact, I'll tell you, one of the differences is...
He's...
Okay.
Yeah. We will see what is the difference between Spark and Stream Analytics also in that session. Okay? So we'll just focus on this one and go. Give us like 5 minutes. We'll show you the querying window.
To add to Deepthi's point of view, so I'll add just one thing here, as you will see consequently, right? On this, you need to write a lot of code to actually get that running. Stream Analytics, you will actually see right here, you could just write those queries in like 3-4 lines of the queries and you're all done. So this is basically an entirely managed service that's being provided by Azure.
So that's where
you will basically find one of the advantages of Azure Stream Analytics.
So it does help in increasing productivity. The output of Stream Analytics, which again will be in some form of data, you can put it into tables, Event Hubs, Azure Blobs, SQL, Azure, and also you can put it into Notification Hub. So you say, I'm getting the stream of data. If something happens, alert me using a notification service. That's possible to achieve it in Stream Analytics as well. Switching gears, let's actually see an example of what we have. Okay.
So basically, we are considering a real-time scenario where we actually want, in case of, let's say, consider toll booths. So on toll booths, you have the data which is basically in motion all the time. So, you know, in this case, we've considered a scenario where we've actually put up sensors at the entry side and we've put up sensors at the exit stream. So data is coming in from both the sensors, which is capturing a variety of information. So your entry sensor would capture the information about the license ID plates and the other information about the vehicles. And the exit data stream will actually tell you at what point in time the car exited. So this is actually a very good case of real-time scenarios where you want to actually know, you know, what's the efficiency of the toll booth like. So, you know, all of us living in India have faced this a bunch of times, you know, all of this tolls getting totally congested. So, in fact, I belong to Delhi, and on Delhi, you know, a lot of you might have heard about the Delhi-Gurgaon toll, which was actually taken off after a lot of traffic congestion was happening around. So what could be one of the possible solutions in those scenarios, right? You could actually free off that toll for some time. So when you see that it goes beyond a particular threshold, the efficiency is decreasing, at that point in time, you could probably decongest it by, you know, altogether closing that toll, or you could take that decision in real time altogether. Then we can also compare in this, during this real time data, you also might want to compare it against certain reference data, look up to that data as well. So let's say, you know, if I already have a data with the registration authority, which says that, you know, registrations of particular cars are expired or not, or if the police is actually looking for some kind of a car which is, you know, which has done some kind of a crime or something, and you want to automatically detect it. So you can do that comparison with the input and the exit streams, along with that reference data as well. So we'll see, you know, going forward in this scenario, how we can run these certain queries and compare against both of them.
So we were speaking of queries, right? We know how to define the inputs, how to define the outputs. It can be done on the portal with a few clicks. Before we show that, let's actually understand what querying language support we have. This room is full of folks who are interested in data, so you can do all of the DML statements, the date time formats, which play an important function here because everything is based on time. We have aggregate and string functions. What do we have newly? One, in order to scale, we have partition support. Second thing, in order to define how we run our queries, we have the windowing support. And we have three kinds of windows that's supported currently. We'll switch and see how to create the input-output and run a few queries now.
So basically, we are the portal that we are now back into is the portal which is available in GA. So this is the old portal. So the stream analytics services we talked about is still in preview. So
you can actually go GA next month actually.
Yeah, it was just announced, but so it forms one of the important components of the IoT puzzle. So you can actually request access to this service, and you will be most probably very quickly granted access to the service. You can go here and say quick create. So I can probably say that I want to create a new service. So here you see certain regions. So currently it's supported in these regions, and eventually as it will go into GA, it will expand across the various Azure data centers. So let's say, and then you also need to define the storage account for it. So where it will actually keep your monitoring and monitoring logs, etc. So it's one of the storage accounts which has already been defined. It will take a couple of minutes to actually create. So by the time it creates,
Speak about the options.
Okay. So here you see different tabs on top of it. So you have the dashboard, monitor, input, query, output, scale, and configure. So you can do the entire life cycle of events within Stream Analytics, right, can be performed right from the portal itself. So you can do all these things. We'll delve into each one of them as we go forward. So right now, the first step to basically to get started with this analytics is to add input sources. So you can add an input source here. So in input stream, we currently have two input sources which are supported, the data stream and the reference data that we talked about. In the data stream, you can either add it via a blob storage, or you could add it via an event hub. So in this case, we'll add it via an event hub per se. Let's say the sensor data that's being ingested to the event hub is basically serving as a source. So here you basically write a friendly alias that you want to write. You would be using this alias when you actually write down the queries on top of it. Then you can say that I want to use event hub. Then for the event hub, you can write down the, so it'll ask you for a couple of other things to be able to connect to that event hub. Then once you're done, then you can define the serialization formats and the encodings, and it'll add. So it'll add this input. By the time it adds the input, let's also look how we can add a reference input. So we might want to add some registration data, which is a reference data. We can say we want to use this, and then it'll ask you to define a storage account. So here, one of the storage accounts is already chosen, and then you can select the remaining parameters correspondingly. And then once you're done, you can just say connect, and it'll ask you for those same serialization settings again, and you can serialize this data accordingly. And then it'll say test the connection. Then you can also define outputs here. So in this scenario, we can define an output where we want to output this data. So we might want to output this data to various data sources. We might want to output this to a blob storage. We might want to output this to an event hub, or a SQL database, or to a table storage. So in this case, let's say if we want to output this to a SQL database, we can give the output. We can add a SQL DB here. And then we can add a SQL database, let's say, which is already created. So we can just add a SQL database here. It'll ask you for the credentials of the SQL DB. And then it'll ask you, where do you want to store the results? So you can store the results in a table. So here the table schema will actually match the schema of the output that you're getting. And then you can say that you want to test this. And you can be all done once you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you will write on post those, you can actually use the notification hub to send out notifications and connect the notification hub to that source.
Yes, the output can be a notification engine, so it can send out notifications to how you, the way you set it up.
Yes, but the output list, there was no notification engine, there was one event hub.
Right, the event hub itself will generate a notification using notification services and send it out, all right? So let's fast track it a little now. We've seen how we can do inputs, outputs. What kind of queries can we put in here? It's the first concept is the tumbling window, where we have a definite time period interval, right? So we're analyzing what's happened between 0 and 10th second, 11th and 28th second. Then we have a hopping window. A hopping window will say, how do we do things? You know, we analyze every 10 seconds, but the interval is that of every 5 seconds. And the last one is a sliding window. So what do we actually do in a sliding window? It is continuous signal, right? So what's happened in the last n seconds is what you get over here. All what we've done so far, again, you can do the same thing using REST APIs, and there are commands and commandlets which is available for that to be doing. Now, let's run a query and see where we can see the output. We can see the output directly here in the...
So this is, now we've come inside the query tab. So in the portal, we've chosen the query tab. After adding input outputs, you can choose the query tab. So one of the, as an advantage of the service, right, so you actually, you can write the query, you can test and run the query before you actually, you know, want to connect it to all your inputs,
live outputs, sources,
and data sources. So you can say that, you know, we've written a query here where we want to calculate the number of vehicles that are passing this, the number of vehicles that are come in. For this, we've defined a window. So window is where you actually define after what interval do you want to get the output. So here we are saying that, you know, we want an output after a span of every 3 minutes we want to figure out. So here you can add this testing data. So test data, you could add a JSON here directly, which could contain all the info. In a real-time scenario, you will basically have your sensors pumping in this data. And then you say, you just run the query, and you get the count. So you get the count of vehicles which have passed in within each window. So you're getting the tier. So this is where you see, right? You just wrote your familiar SQL statements right in the query browser, and you have the outputs here, right? So if you otherwise start on writing, you will have to write tons of custom code to actually write that. So that's the whole difference.
And then we move on to scale. As we said, we can help you scale this, monitor this, log this. How? All available directly off the portal.
So in case of stream analytics, so stream analytics is measured using the streaming units. So this streaming unit, so you can actually scale these streaming units directly from the portal itself. So it's at streaming unit 1. By default, that's one streaming unit it'll take. It can go up to a maximum of 12. So you can do this to improve the performance of your query here, and you can expand it. Then you also get a dashboard where you can actually see a lot of performance metrics coming in here directly itself. So it'll show you, you know, all these runtime errors, inputs, etc. Then it gives...
So you know how everything we scale, right? So when we have to move the scale of a virtual machine, we will say go from A3 machine to A4 machine. Similarly, the number of resources that you grant for this to execute would increase. Can we have a chat with you a little, you know, in a couple of minutes? Sure.
So basically, you have operational logs here. You can filter these logs, and you can see, you know, what's the status of these logs. So the transactions would have started, or some of the transactions probably which did not work out. So the you actually see one of these. You can click the details and know where the errors are. So all this, you can do this via the portal itself. So.
In switch?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, this is what we want to talk to you about. Two new services, one which is going to go GA next month, which is Stream Analytics, and the other which is, you know, for which there's no date right now, but how we could use Data Factory to deal with both structured and unstructured data with all the default properties that you get in Azure, scale, speed, and economy. If you have any questions, you know, we are here. We'll talk with you. And the rest of you, actually, the lunch is lunch has been served. You know, you can head out to lunch.
Just
thank
question.
You so much.
What is the minimum interval for the stream analytics?
Sorry?
Just what is the minimum interval which is supported right now? Is it 1 second, microsecond for the stream?
So basically, we have different windows, and within those different windows, you can define the time intervals within seconds, minutes, hours.
So it's minimum 1 second, is it?
Sorry?
It's a minimum 1 second streaming.
So it starts from seconds and it goes to seconds, minutes.
Not milliseconds, right?
No, currently it goes through.
SQL Server? Yes, that's possible. Yeah.
Sure.